In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Glory to Jesus Christ.
Glory to God forever.
So today we arrive at the 40th day after Christmas, the day that Jesus is brought to the temple in Jerusalem, as was the custom. Mary and Joseph, in accord with the Old Testament law, dedicate Jesus and bring the traditional offering of either a lamb or a pair of turtle doves. Now, at that point in time, Jesus being 40 days old, the wise men had not yet arrived with their gifts. In spite of our Christmas carols and greeting cards, the Magi didn't arrive until the following year. So Mary and Joseph, not being able to afford a lamb, bring the pair of turtle doves. Option B. And yet in the divine mystery, they nonetheless bring an unblemished lamb in the person of Jesus, the Lamb of God. It's like when Abraham says to Isaac, God will provide the lamb for the offering. Jesus is the lamb being brought into the temple to fulfill the law. True God of true God. And it is the fulfillment of the law that is one of the major themes permeating this event. Jesus perfectly completes what is asked of humanity. And now Luke reports a second declaration of the law besides the turtle doves option. Luke reminds us that the law also declares every male child that opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord. Every male child that opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord. And Jesus will fulfill this as well. That's an essential part of the presentation of the Lord in the temple. Now, this declaration sometimes gives people pause, even makes a few people bristle a little bit. Why is it just the male child that's called holy? Aren't girls holy? Isn't this just another layer of sexism? Well, yes to the question, are girls holy? And no to the sexism. Whatever a person might think of other passages in the Old Testament, this one is decidedly not sexist against girls in spite of its outward appearance. But if we're going to answer that concern, let's answer it thoroughly. For starters, it's not just girls who should bristle. What about all us middle kids and the youngest born? Remember, it's not just every male child that's called holy. It's every male child that opens the womb, which is a way of saying firstborns. Firstborns. It's only boys who also happen to be firstborns. So it's not just firstborns of the boys. It only includes firstborns altogether if they happen to be male. Everyone else is excluded. So why did God single out firstborn males to be called holy and not anyone else? What makes this subset of boys holy? What makes this subset of boys set apart? Well, it's that they nearly died. Short answer. It's that they nearly died. It's that as a group, they were the ones in imminent danger of death, but survived. Let's remember where and when this declaration about males who are firstborns being holy was made. It was right after the night of Passover in Exodus 13, when all the firstborn males in Egypt, both human and cattle, died in the final plague. Every last one, except those households that had the blood of an unblemished lamb on their doorpost. The firstborn boys in those homes were spared. They came this close to death and were spared, were passed over by this messenger of death. Now that was a horrible, dreadful night. I mean, even if your own family was spared, you knew what was going on down the street. You had received news, and you're hearing the horrors, the despair of your neighbors. That's going to touch you. That's going to touch you. And you know you're being spared from this final plague, but for the grace of God. And the next day, when you look down at your firstborn male child, and you realize you are this close to losing him, you become aware immediately that this child was somehow holy, somehow set apart. And not that your other children aren't holy, just that he was the one that was in danger. When the LA Rams pulverized the Minnesota Vikings in the playoffs earlier this month, they had to move the game from Los Angeles to Phoenix because of the horrible fires in Southern California. And at the game, if you watched it, lots of people on the sidelines, in the stands, coaches and trainers were wearing shirts that said, "I stand with LA," or "I heart the LA Fire Department," or "God bless the people of Los Angeles," or "LA strong." Nobody had shirts praising the people of Phoenix where the game was being held. I didn't see one. Nobody had a shirt praising the people of Minneapolis, the opposing team, and no one was exalting their respective fire departments. But it's obviously not because people don't care about those others. It's because they were focusing on the ones in harm's way. And so this declaration by God that males who are also firstborn are declared holy does not mean girls, does not mean us middle kids, does not mean the youngest borns are somehow less holy. It doesn't mean that at all. It's that the males who were firstborn were spared a horror. So two quick lessons for us today. First lesson is an invitation for us to open our hearts to someone who is in harm's way. And not just physical harm, but emotional harm, spiritual harm, to look up from our own busy lives and see the neighbor, see the stranger at high risk of pain, at high risk of some injury, whether external or internal, and remember that God has set this person apart as holy. And when you are at risk, when you are most compromised, remember that you too are set apart as holy. And the second lesson, and probably the preeminent lesson, is that this all points to a very particular firstborn male child who would not escape death, but rather who would accept death on the cross in order to bring life to the world. And that preeminent male child who opened the womb is declared holy because he is the Holy One. He is the standard of holy. He is the source and the goal of all that are holy. The unblemished lamb brought to the temple at 40 days to ultimately offer himself for the life of the world. Amen.